Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Glad to have you tuned in. And happy Monday to you. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Neil Stavem here, Ted Ross Controls.
Yes.
Actually had a little change in the weather. I noticed that somewhat over the weekend.
If you look at my neck, you can tell I got some sun.
Yeah, look at that. We're actually, we're in the season of sports activities, right?
Yeah, the outdoor season.
The long weekends of sports things.
Soccer for us, right now, and volleyball for my oldest. Yeah.
Do you have an appropriate lawn chair so you can sit comfortably? And
that's key. Otherwise, the back locks up, and you don't need that. So,
so you can, And are you one of those parents that sort of scream at the volunteer refs or something?
Not too bad. I've let the coaches do the coaching. You know, there was one parent behind me that thought he was a coach, I think. And at one point, his wife said, "Why don't you just let the coaches do that?"
Which was the public version. I'm sure that maybe the private version got a little more direct, perhaps. So, looking forward to thanks for coming to work today, by the way, Ted.
It's a privilege to come and work here and work alongside you. Definitely.
We are going to talk about work today. In fact, the title of our the book we're going to reference, and we've got five copies to give away, and it's a short little read, but it's impactful. I know you're going to appreciate it, and we've had this guest on in the past, but he's co-authored a wonderful book called The Gospel at Work. The subtitle is How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs.
Well, I love that. It applies in the secular workplace for sure, as well as Christian workplaces.
Yeah, I don't know if Mondays are kind of a sort of a down day for you at work. I don't know if that really is the case. I mean,
sometimes you just...
So how do we make it not just getting through Monday to push toward the weekend? Hopefully that's not how you sort of live your work life. But we'll get some great insight today. And let me get our guest on the line. Sebastian Traeger has spent a number of years starting and building various web businesses. He co-founded FiveStreet.com, Razoo.com, Christianity.com, and Silas Partners. And he lives in the Washington, D.C. area, and he co-wrote this with Greg Gilbert, who's a senior pastor. And the book is called The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. And Sebastian just recently taken a new job. So, Sebastian, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be here. Appreciate you guys having me on the show.
And let's get maybe kind of caught up with you, because I mean, your work has transitioned a little bit as well. Just give us an update on, your, interest in this topic and how you've kind of transitioned to a new position.
Yeah, so the last, 20 years or so, I've been involved as basically an entrepreneur. I've started several companies, mostly in the technology field. And this topic is really born out of my own personal questions that I asked and some of my own kind of wonderings and wanderings. And so through that, I wanted to understand what is it exactly that God has for me in my work. And that's really where the book really flowed from. And in that time of really kind of sorting that out, it's been amazing just to, and I know we'll talk about this more in the interview, but come to a place of just trusting the Lord that, hey, where you're opening doors, where you're guiding me, that's kind of where you would have me. And just recently, I joined David Platt at the International Mission Board as the Chief Operating Officer. So I'm there now, working with him to mobilize Christians, to facilitate church planting all around the world, to really, as we see it, playing our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. So I'm thrilled to be there and using some of the same gifts and skills that I've used in the technology world, now getting to bring them to bear and facilitating church planting all around the world.
We'll probably want to just rush through the book so we can get into talking about your work there, the IMB. That's exciting. So wish you well in that, and just excited about some fresh new faces in the world of mission outreach and church planting. Looking forward to hearing more as we go along. So let's talk a little bit about some of the kind of the premise of the book, because you talk about sort of two I words, that there's maybe extremes on one end or the other, and maybe we just need to start out with that. What are some of the ways that we maybe misunderstand work in the first place?
Yeah, there's really two challenges that we sort of identify. This is these two are things that I think are true for most of us, and they can be true simultaneously. They can be true at different times of our lives. And that is that on the one hand, we tend to be idle in our work. That's I-D-L-E. We tend to, and the way we think about idle is it's not just idle of the hands doing nothing. It's really also idle of the heart. It's not seeing how God's purpose is in your work. It's when your heart is disconnected from God's purposes in your life, God's purposes in the world. And so you take a posture of being idle in your work. That's one danger I think we can fall into. The other danger I think we fall into, or the other pitfall, is when we make work an idol, and that's I-D-O-L. Now, we make work an idol. I think it's a little easier for us to understand what that looks like when we elevate work above maybe Christ, above our relationship with the Lord, when we tend to invest too much of our identity in it, and when we are looking for ultimate satisfaction of it. Those are all ways we can tend to make work an idol. And these are really the two pitfalls. We are idle in our work, or we make work an idol.
Well, I mean, there's that passage in Ecclesiastes that talks about, you know, it's all meaningless. So as you know, work was part of God's design right from the beginning, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's actually one of these areas that I think Christians sometimes misunderstand. They think work was actually part of the curse, when in fact God is the first worker, right? God created. We see that God created, he worked in the garden, he created the world, and then he rested. He then created Adam and Eve to be his representatives or workers here in the world. And the difference was, in the garden, Adam and Eve, for them, work and worship were the same things, right? For them, there was no disconnect between worshiping God and doing work for God. It was all one and the same thing. Of course, their sin against God, their rebellion against God, changed all of that. Because they chose to rebel against God, God cursed work. That was one of the things he did. He cursed work, and he said, work will forever be futile. It'll be difficult. There'll be thorns in the soil. You know, what you do today will be undone tomorrow. It won't be permanent. It will be frustrating and hard. And so the curse of work is what we all experience day to day. But work itself, that explains why we can take great pleasure in our work, why we enjoy work that's done well, why we enjoy excellence. It's because God created us to be workers. He's a worker, but because of our sin, work is now cursed.
You know, it's always kind of, I guess, unsettling to think about. We hear the statistics about how many people probably don't really find satisfaction in their work, or they're in positions that, you know, they don't enjoy coming. I mean, that's, you know, what, the 60, maybe even 70%, right, of people that just their work isn't meaningful to them.
And I've seen studies where it says up to 80% even. So yeah, there's a large swath of people where work is not enjoyable. I think part of that is one of the challenges people have is expectations, right? We, especially in our culture, where, you know, it's assumed that we'll be able to put food on the table, that we'll be able to put shelter over our head. That's kind of assumed. So what we're looking for is really that kind of personal fulfillment in our work. And so from an expectations perspective, on the one hand, we're told that we should find something, you know, and we should even expect something we're passionate about. And then, you know, embedded in that, we're sort of told that work itself should be all fun and games. And I think, again, as Christians, we can be realistic, even with expectations, and see, oh, of course, because work is cursed, I shouldn't expect it to ever give me ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction. It just can never do that because God will no longer let it do that. It's actually a gift of God's when I do enjoy my work, but I can have realistic expectations. And I think as we start to have realistic expectations, strangely, we do actually start to enjoy our work more.
You have a statement, or I guess just want to react to it. The statement is that who you work for is more important than what you do. I think that we, from early on in our education, that you know we're told to figure out what we want to be when we grow up, right? So talk about that that perspective and how that can change our outlook.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about this idea that we've seen the fall into the temptations of being idle at work. So in that sense, we don't see God's ultimate purpose in it, and we're tempted to disconnect our work from God, and we might be dissatisfied or wallow in disappointment. On the other hand, we can make work an idol, right? We can want too much out of it. Well, when we start to see that when we are in Christ, we are new creations, we have a new identity, our identity is now rooted in being made new and knowing that our eternity is secure forever with God in heaven, and he has made us new creations, suddenly what becomes amazing about my work is not the actual job I'm doing, but the who I'm doing it for. It's because the King of the universe has called me into his kingdom, I now do work as unto the Lord, and that's what makes it meaningful and gives it purpose. And that's where that statement came from. And that was really a watershed moment for me when I started to really understand this idea that who you work for is more important than what you do. And I think a lot of us can fall prey to thinking a lot about and getting discouraged a lot about the what we do or chasing after the what we do instead of taking satisfaction and pleasure and fulfillment in who it is that we're doing it for, and then just being thankful that he would give us anything to do that's a service to him.
We're going to talk more about that, not only maybe the must-haves in choosing work and career choice. We'll also talk about balancing work, family, ministry, all those things that we wrestle with, and also maybe just to come back and reflect on that verse once again in Colossians 3 about, you know, whatever we do, we want to do it heartily as unto the Lord. What does that mean? We'll reflect on that and more in just a moment. Sebastian Traeger is my guest today. He's the new COO of the International Mission Board. He's been an entrepreneur, started a number of companies, particularly in the technology field, and he's co-written a wonderful book called The Gospel at Work. Working for King Jesus gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. And we have five copies to give away. A great little resource. It'd be wonderful, too, perhaps for someone that might be just graduating here soon and looking for a new career launch. You're welcome to sign up for one of those. We'll do the drawing at the end of the show. Whenever we have resources, we just pull out some names of those that call in. And you can make that call right now at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And I'd love to have you join the conversation. Let's talk work today. The Gospel at Work. More in a moment. Work to do, baby. Yeah, that's it.
I just like hearing you say that.
Yes, that's what we're doing. Yeah, we're busy at work today. We're working the program called Connecting Faith, and thankfully we have a great guest to help us reflect on the topic as we talk. The Gospel at Work. That's the title of a wonderful little book co-written by my guest today, Sebastian Traeger. He wrote it with Greg Gilbert. The subtitle is How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. And Ted, I don't know if you noticed just the icon on the cover there, and then you get the crown,
over the
office chair. Just yes. It's that little logo alone we should probably have that posted someplace, Sebastian, in our work, just so that we kind of keep that in mind. In fact, you know, you talk about that. You mentioned kind of referenced the Colossians 3 verse. Let's talk about that. What does that mean? Working heartily as unto the Lord.
Yeah, that's one of the most important verses, I think, as we think about work. That verse, do all as unto the Lord, not as unto men, not as people pleasers, but as though it is Christ that you are serving. I think that verse is so important for us in our work as we think about that all of our work, it doesn't say some of our work, it doesn't say the work we really, really enjoy or the stuff we're really good at. It says all that we do is to be done. And it's not, again, it's not the motive. The ultimate and primary motivation is not my boss is looking or this promotion's at stake or I don't want to lose my job. That's not the primary motivation. The primary motivation given in that verse is because it's the Lord Christ that you are serving. So kind of looking at that verse again, all that we do, not for men, but because it's the Lord Christ I'm serving. So in all things, we should work as though it is Christ we're serving. And so without a doubt, some of those things God's given you to do is the job that you have. And so that should be done as though it's unto the Lord, that he is your primary, that he is your king. And so primarily that's who you work for.
It does seem like that over the years, though, we've certainly maybe not done as much to break down that divide that suggests, well, full-time Christian work is more valuable than a quote, non-ministry job. Is that still prevalent today, do you think?
I think it is. I think, you know, I think it operates on sort of two levels. I think on one level, I think there is an emotional level where it operates. And, you know, I've been in the secular workplace for about 20 years, and so I understand it can be hard to understand why I'm going to work every day with people whose maybe language is not something that's appropriate, or who aren't very gracious, or who live lifestyles that don't seem to be honoring to the Lord. It can be really hard to do that. And so emotionally, I think it can start to feel like if only there was work that I could do in a context with people who live differently. I think that's part of it. And I think there's also a theological issue as well, where because we haven't rooted our work as unto the Lord as being the thing that's valuable, we've actually been guilty of kind of caring more about the what we do than the who we do it for. And so we tend to have, I think, as Christians, a hierarchy of the what we do, right? The more it's directly about, you know, sharing the gospel or building people up, that's got to be more valuable than, you know, the less valuable it is. And theologically, again, that's not true. The most important thing about your work is that you're doing it as unto the Lord. That's what makes it the most important. Now, within that, and we can get into this, there's absolutely, and I want to affirm and encourage people who are in pastoral ministry or missionaries or others, there's absolutely, I think, a special calling for that. But I don't think it's one of more value or less value.
Well, let's jump in then, because I know you address some must-haves when it comes to maybe choosing a work or a career choice, or maybe changing careers. How do we prioritize those most important things?
Yeah, I think choosing a job can be one of the most difficult things, and this is where we have to recognize that we are in a fallen world, and so choosing a job is going to be hard. It's going to be hard because, you know, already there's a mismatch between needs in society and what we're good at. You know, there's also it's going to be hard because God's kind of cursed work, and so that's difficult. And then our hearts get so wrapped up into jobs and identity. I can remember in college, I remember interviewing for a job when I sort of saw the difficulty of choosing a job. I was in an interview, and it was one of these deals where I could just drop a resume in an envelope and kind of show up at the interview. And after 5 or 10 minutes of just kind of chit-chatting, the interviewer said, looking at your resume, I'm surprised that you would interview for this job. You know, like we're a small debt equity firm in the middle of New York City. So what exactly has drawn you to it? And it was probably the first time in my life I heard the words debt and equity next to each other. And so I was kind of like, well, you know, debt's important and equity is important. And, you know, together they're even more important. And so, you know, needless to say, a couple of minutes later, I was, you know, politely thanked for my time and left the interview. And but the point is, like, it's absolutely can be very hard to find the right fit for our skills and what we're good at and what we like and know. And here's the thing. I think as we look at that, we have to be really careful to separate out what the Bible says are must-haves compared to what the world says are nice-to-haves. And we need to be wise in determining if I'm pursuing work and all the must-haves, those boxes are checked, I can have full confidence I'm doing something that's within, you know, totally fine to do. And I even can trust that the Lord will likely grow my satisfaction in it. We need to be careful not to obsess about the nice-haves. So what are the must-haves and what are the nice-haves? I think there's only three biblical must-haves. I think one of them is glorifying God in your job. And again, praise God, there's a lot of work that does glorify God. There's definitely some gray areas as well. And if you have a gray area, I would encourage you to talk to a pastor or a friend about one of those, what one of those might be. I think another must-have in a job is, does it allow you to live a godly life? So is it allowing you to have consistent spiritual disciplines, being meaningfully involved in a church? Are those things part of the job? I think that's a must-have. And then the third one is actually, does it provide for your needs and for the needs of your family and allow you to be generous? If those three are met, right, glorifying God, living the godly life, and actually having money, then it's a job that you can, with no reservations, take and trust that the Lord has something in it for you. And then there's nice-to-haves. There's things that I think are totally fine to go for. They're not biblically commanded. They're not required. They're nice to have. If you can get them, great. If not, don't worry about it. And those are, does this job benefit society in some way? Now, most jobs, if they're glorifying God, actually do benefit society. Is it something that you're passionate about or that you would enjoy doing? And then lastly, is it something that you're good at that takes advantage of your skills and abilities? Again, biblically speaking, those are nice to have because the Bible doesn't actually say that's something you must do. So I just want to encourage Christians, have a lot more freedom in the jobs you get. Trust God in them. And if you can, absolutely go after those nice to haves. But if you don't have them, that's okay.
Well, it just seems like we have sort of turned that completely upside down, haven't we? Because it's all, it seems like the whole emphasis from early on, it's all about the fit and the gift mix, right? And you know, are you qualified? Are you trained? Are you do you have skills in this area? As opposed, you know, we don't ever really get up to those must haves very often.
That's right. And I want to say to people, you know, like thinking about the ordering of those priorities. As you prioritize those must haves, it's kind of like the base of a pyramid. You're putting the most solid foundation on the bottom of that pyramid, and that foundation can hold a lot of weight. So if you're right sizing that, prioritizing glorifying God, being a blessing to others and providing for your needs and others, you're prioritizing the most important things. And then again, you can add kind of on top, almost like a cherry on top, those nice to haves. But you can see the danger of flipping that around. If you're prioritizing yourself, your own interests, your own passions, if you're only, you know, secondarily thinking of others or barely even considering the Lord and his purposes for you, you can just see how that's just not enough to support the weight of what we try to put on it. And so I agree with you. I think this is where we have to be careful as Christians. Our society really wants our jobs to be amazing things because that's kind of all they have. So we just need to be really careful and wise in this area not to have worldly thinking in the worst sense of the word.
Getting some fresh perspective today from Sebastian Traeger, who serves now as the COO of the International Mission Board. He's been an entrepreneur, business entrepreneur, and he's co-authored a book called The Gospel at Work, Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. We've got, I think, four or five copies to give away and would love to have you get one of these and just to be able to think some more on this and reflect with us. Love to have you join the conversation, too. We're going to spend some time talking a little bit about, all right, how do we get along with our boss and coworkers. We'll get into issues about complaints. What are some principles for being a Christian supervisor? We'll get to that. Even maybe words like how do we actually, can we share our faith on the job? What does that look like? We'll talk about that and more. You have a question or a comment? So we talk work today. Love to have you join us and sign up for a copy of the book. We'll give those away at the end of the hour. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or if you want to drop us a note, it's myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, the email link there, and we'll talk more in just a moment. Fresh perspective today on what it means to be working in a way that honors the Lord and working heartily as unto the Lord. The Gospel at Work is the title of a wonderful resource. The book is subtitled How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. Sebastian Traeger is my guest. He is the co-author of the book. He's been a business entrepreneur, started several companies, mostly in the tech field, online companies, and serves now as a new position as the COO of the International Mission Board, serving with David Platt in this new position and getting some great insight today about work. We've got some copies of the book to give away. If you have a question, you're welcome to join us as well. The number is 877-933-2484, or if it's more convenient, you want to just drop us a note, go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link right there. So we're talking a little bit about, you know, finding some of the must-haves and the nice-to-haves in terms of finding a job. There's a number of, obviously, the bookshelves are full of books about work and those things. You know, a few years ago, the 4-hour work week came out. I'd just be interested. I know you referenced it just once in the book, but I'm interested in your perspective on what's behind maybe that mindset.
So 4-hour work week, for those who might not be aware of it, is a book written by a guy who was about 30 years old when he wrote it. And his whole premise in the book was, how do you work as little as possible so you can do the things in life that are really, you know, fun and enjoyable and meaningful? And so this is a very secular guy, very, very bright guy. And so hence the 4-hour work week, basically reduce your work to 4 hours. And I will say, from a worldview perspective, he's about as far from wanting to invest his excess time in kingdom purposes as you can get. So in that sense, I will not endorse the book from the why he wants to only work 4 hours. But I do think a lot of the concepts in that book are extremely helpful for how can I be more productive? How can I think smarter about my work? How can I just do everything I can to focus my time and attention so that I'm not wasting time or some of these things? And I think as Christians, wow, this would be great if all of us were thinking to ourselves, how can I free up more of my time so I can be doing other good things with it? And so that's one thing I love about the book. He seems to give a roadmap for how I can really free up more and more of my time. That said, I do think there's a lot in the book that's not great from a worldview perspective.
Because that is the challenge, isn't it? I mean, we want to we recognize the need to balance our work life with family and church and, you know, the things that we maybe love more, that we value more. So let's talk about that balance issue, because that is at the heart of, you know, maybe our big challenges most every day.
Absolutely. I remember curling up in the couch 3 a.m. in the morning, the night my son was first born. I was in a hospital, and I couldn't sleep. And it wasn't because I was so excited about my son being born, although I was. It was honestly because I was terrified. And I just started thinking, I don't get it. I can barely keep my head above water now, being, you know, a husband and involved in the church and involved in a company. And now I've got this brand new, uber important to-do that's now been added to the list. How on earth am I going to do it? And, you know, the solution I came up with that night was, I know what it is. I can fail at my job. That's the thing I can do to kind of solve this conundrum of feeling like I've got too much going on. Well, I've come to reflect on that, and I don't think that's the right answer. That's not the answer that we can fail at our job. Why? Well, I don't think God gives us assignments so that we then have to pick which one we can be the worst at. That's not the way it works. In fact, the good God who we serve gives us assignments and then wants us and desires us to be faithful at all of them. And that's kind of something we need to recognize as Christians, is that, you know, everything we do is to be done sold out as a disciple for Christ. That's our number one priority in everything. And then secondarily, we do that by thinking, okay, how can I be sold out as a disciple of the Lord and as a husband? How do I be sold out as a husband? How do I be sold out as a father and as a worker and as somebody in the church? All of these ways, I know I'm sold out to the Lord. And then what I need to do, using wisdom, using the counsel of other Christians, and thinking deliberately about the use of my time, I think what God's given us is we need to then think, okay, what does it look like to be faithful in all of these assignments? And I think the Bible gives clear minimum requirements for faithfulness as a father and a husband and a worker and a church member. And then if I have extra and excess time, how can I invest for greater fruitfulness, right? So I need to, on the one hand, I need to be careful that I'm not being idle, I-D-L-E, and I need to pursue faithfulness. How am I going to be faithful in everything? And then I can think, how can I invest in greater fruitfulness? But I don't want to ever invest so much in one thing that I kind of trip over to the other side, which is idolatry or making it an idol. So it's a good way to think about balance. You know, first faithfulness, then fruitfulness, but not idolatry. I think that's a good way to think about how we balance these competing assignments that God's given us.
And we should expect, right? I mean, over the course of our lifetime or our work, that there would be fruitfulness as a result of our labors, right?
Absolutely. We should expect that fruitfulness. And I think I think one thing that's amazing about how God's wired us is that as we grow in faithfulness in one area, we see it actually overflowing to other areas. So, for example, if you're a parent, as you grow at speaking into your child's life, at discipling your child, at holding your child accountable, at basically at doing that, you're going to grow as maybe a Bible study leader or as a discipler in the church, because to some extent, it's a lot of the same skills that you're building. And as you do that, you're also going to see that you're going to grow as maybe a manager in the workplace or as somebody who can interact with people. So you see that in God's economy, these things are all intertwined. As we grow as a parent, we grow as a faithful church member, and we grow as a worker. And to your point, Neil, all of that culminates in greater fruitfulness as we go.
Well, as you mentioned, coworkers, let's talk about that. How do we handle maybe a difficult boss or coworkers? You address a couple of concerns that we can all relate to a time or two, the issue of complaints. So say more about, what does it mean to be to let King Jesus give us a perspective on how we work with others?
Yeah, this is an area where I'd say particularly I think pastors struggle to understand the people in their churches in the workplace, because most pastors work with really pleasant people. Even the most difficult church members often are no match for the most difficult coworkers, right? So it can be really tough out in the workplace when you have a difficult coworker or a difficult boss. And so one of our passions in this book is to really help people think about, okay, what do I do if I'm in a situation with difficult coworkers or difficult boss? How can I be faithful even in the midst of that? And especially as it relates to coworkers, I mean, one thing we want to also encourage is that, a primary a purpose of your work is to be salt and light in the workplace and to represent the King in that situation. So you can know if you are in that situation with a difficult coworker, a difficult boss, one thing you can be sure of is that the King has seen fit to deploy you to be his ambassador there. And so he obviously thinks you can handle that difficult coworker, that difficult boss. And so one thing we want to do is encourage people to pursue faithfulness in that. Not that you can never leave a job if that's the case, but to persevere and to trust God. And very practically, one very practical idea I always give people who find themselves with a difficult boss or difficult coworker is actually just start praying for that person. Pray for their family. Pray for their soul. Pray for them to grow in grace. Pray for other relationships they have. It's amazing when you start to pray for the very person or people who you're struggling to get along with. It's amazing the work God does in your heart to give you grace towards that same person.
One of the areas you address too is just the issue of complaints. I mean, it's so easy for us to just become, get negative about a coworker or a boss or a system or a process or whatever it is. I mean, the complaints can really, misrepresent our relationship with the Lord, can't they?
Absolutely. I think, this is kind of if you wanted to kind of summarize, what's the kind of the language of people in the workplace? You could almost argue it's complaint, right? People are pretty fluent at speaking complaint, right? Complaining about the boss, the decision, the pay, the circumstances that they have to come in at a certain time or go home at a certain time, complain. It's very easy. And, honestly, if you're in the workplace and you want to have relationships, you're going to probably find yourself tempted to complain because, if you have a good complaint, that will give you a little bit of social credit. And then that's something that you can leverage. Well, as Christians, that's not how we're to be marked. In fact, we're to shine as stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. And so shining like a star in the universe is directly tied to not complaining, right? As we learn to trust God in our work, our language will change, even the way we talk about things. Again, this is not to say you can't point out legitimate things you would want improved in your workplace, but the attitude we have, the word choice we have, all of that should be transformed by the gospel as we hold out the word of life, as we shine like stars in the universe, and as we fight the temptation to complain simply because we want others to approve of us or think highly of us in some way.
So we're believers in a workplace, and we want to let our light shine like stars, can we just do that and not have to sort of speak about the gospel? If we actually want to try and advance, God's kingdom at work, do we have to actually say something?
Yeah, great question. I think evangelism in the workplace is something that I think, by God's grace, a lot of people think about that. Now, that's to some extent borne by the fact that many pastors, unfortunately, the only thing they know to do about talking about work is, like, you should evangelize in it, and, you know, you should work fewer hours, and you should get money from it, right? So we need a more robust way to talk about the workplace. But evangelism is absolutely one of the purposes, not the only purpose. It's not even the primary purpose, I would argue, but one of the purposes you are in your job is to adorn the gospel and to be salt and light. It's absolutely one of the purposes. What I generally say to people, though, is don't think that that means that evangelism has to take place in the workplace, right? I think work is an amazing opportunity to build relationships with people. In some work environments, you can appropriately take time during the 9-to-5 to have gospel conversations. In other workplaces, that is not appropriate. And I think that's fine that that's not appropriate, because no one is going to stop you from building relationships with coworkers, from, you know, inviting them over to meals at your house, to getting coffee before work, to having lunch with them, to interacting with them outside of the work hours, to inviting them to church. All of these things are absolutely appropriate and things you can do. And so I would encourage folks to be salt and light through your actions, your attitudes, to adorn the gospel through how you work, by not complaining, to build faithful relationships, and then to think about, okay, what's the most appropriate time and place for me to share the gospel with this person? Because that absolutely should be one of your goals, because you're a Christian, and that's one of the things that God has said should mark your life. So you want to be thinking evangelistically, but I would encourage you not to feel an overwhelming sense of guilt if the 9-to-5 is not a place where you can necessarily engage in evangelism.
I was wondering, you know, you've done a lot of work as an entrepreneur, but obviously interacted with clients and a variety of workers doing tasks. Just, do you have an example of maybe what sort of worked for you and maybe what didn't work, or how things could have gone better? I just think, you know, some of us probably are in situations where we may not necessarily like all our coworkers.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely have. You know, I would say in terms of going better, I think my early, you know, to my shame, my early work years were really characterized by this idea of making work an idol. And so I was very driven and ambitious for my own personal success. And that personal success meant more to me than treating other people well. And so I was fine with, getting ahead, but doing so by not necessarily like trampling the worst possible way, but just not caring as much about relationships. And so I would say that's always been a temptation of mine and a weakness, is to care more about the task and the accomplishment and the ambition than about the people that I'm doing it with. I think by God's grace, I've grown in this area. I've grown to, again, just recognize that it's also about serving people through how you treat them in the workplace. I think that's definitely been something that's been a struggle. I think one other area that I think it's come a little more naturally to me, but I've always had to grow at it, is workplace evangelism. I remember, for example, being at an internet conference and just kind of realizing in that moment that there are just not many Christians in this field. You know, there are not many believers who are in the technology field. And here God has deployed me to that place, to that mission field almost. And so rather than being necessarily discouraged that I was one of the only Christians, I actually kind of saw that as an incredible opportunity and stewardship God gave me to actually be a missionary in that context.
We'll hear more about missionary and worker and encourager today, Sebastian Traeger. He's co-authored a great little book called The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. We've got some copies to give away. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour if you'd like to sign up for one. It's just a short little book, 160 pages or so, and you'll find it very thoughtful and wise and encouraging, and something that you would appreciate and hopefully can pass on to a friend as well. Maybe there's someone that that is in a career transition right now, or perhaps just graduating and looking for some good biblical foundation as they pursue work and what has God called us to do. 877-933-2484 is the phone number, 877-93-FAITH. Our guest today, Sebastian Traeger, who is COO of the International Mission Board, and we'll continue in just a moment. We're talking about working. It's not just for a living, but our working for King Jesus, how that gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. That's the subtitle of the book, The Gospel at Work, written by Sebastian Traeger. He's my guest today here on Connecting Faith. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. We've talked a little bit just before the break about sharing faith at work and some thoughts about how we maybe get along with coworkers and the boss. Talk about, for those that are Christians and are supervising others or maybe company owners, what advice would you have for those?
Yeah, and this is an area where, again, I think we have a particular opportunity to be great stewards. You know, we read biblically, why did God kind of create work and then call us into the work? Well, one of them, again, is to be his representatives. And one of the most clear ways we can represent God is by how we steward authority. And so if you're a supervisor or a boss of someone, guess what? You have authority to steward over them. And so what should mark your authority more than anything is you should be looking and saying, hey, what is God's authority like? Whatever that's like, that's how I want to steward authority. So I think, again, theologically, you just start to see how theology, the Bible theology, just so easily and quickly leads into practical application. And so I, as a boss, I want to be thinking all day, how can I represent authority in such a way that God does? How does God do it? He does it in such a way that he cares for people, that he wants and is working towards their flourishing, that he is doing all things to see their good. Sometimes that's disciplining them. Sometimes that is teaching them, et cetera. That's what we want to do as supervisors. And I would just say, you know, for those of you who are supervisors, one small way I started to do this, I do not consider myself a naturally good supervisor. I kind of need training wheels. And so one of the sort of training wheels I had was I just started very deliberately to have very simple 30-minute meetings with the folks who work for me. I'd give them sort of 30 minutes to talk to me about anything they would want. So could be literally anything, their family, or usually obviously it's like a work project. And then I sort of have 30 minutes to talk about, or 15 minutes to talk about whatever I wanted. So 15 minutes for them, 15 minutes for me. And in that time, I just think very deliberately about how can I help this person succeed in the projects they're working on, and how can I start to build them up to learn new things.
Now, we're in a season in our nation where, particularly if you have Christian business principles and you're a business owner, I mean, it's definitely a challenge, it seems to be, living those principles out. A lot of political advocacy about different issues comes to mind, a lot of press on that. Any thoughts on maybe just someone who wants to live, biblically or by biblical principles in today's sort of politically charged world?
Yeah. And you know, this issue, Neil, is one that's going to get probably more heated over the coming years, not less. What do we do as Christian business owners, as managers, or even as workers in organizations when there are policies we either need to, go along with or even possibly support that are not ones that we think are appropriate? I think it's going to be a huge issue. I'm going to come with a whole lot of answers today. What I would probably encourage is, just let's recognize in the Christian community, this is a new conversation we're having. We need to mark it with grace. We need to make sure we're giving a little bit of space for each other to kind of have this conversation together, to not judge others based on the choices they make but just to kind of realize, like, this is going to be a hard conversation that we're likely going to be having for many years. Let's be gracious towards one another. Let's fight for unity towards each other as Christians, and let's work out exactly what some of these issues mean over time. How do we respond appropriately? Because, honestly, different consciences might come down a little bit differently on some of the issues. So I would just encourage us to kind of have some level of grace towards one another as we have what's going to, I think, be very, very difficult conversations. Mm-hmm.
We have a few minutes left, and I know you've used the word deployment a couple times, and just that's a wonderful term, I think, for us to kind of get a handle on. Talk about the word deployment, how it can change our mindsets about work.
A lot of us use this word calling. I think the word calling is kind of a confused one in the Christian world, right? It can mean a very subjective thing. It can mean, a definite thing. It's a confused word. I like to use the word deployment, especially when it comes to work, right? And I like to use the word that I've been deployed by God for a particular assignment for a particular time. So my encouragement to Christians is to think about their work as a deployment from the King. God has actually deployed you for that service for this time. And as you start to think that way, I think it helps you to see, like, okay, there's a purpose in this, because God of the universe, creator of the universe, has actually put me in this place, deployed me so that I can do good work in this place that images him, reflects him, holds out, you know, I can shine like stars, et cetera. All of these good things happening through that deployment. So that's kind of an encouragement to folks. Think of your work like a deployment from the King, but that's exactly what it is.
Well, then to have a different picture of success, and I know you reference several verses in Proverbs 16. Just say a word about those.
I think Proverbs 16 is such an important chapter, especially if you're a planner or an ambitious person. If you're trying to think through, is it okay as a Christian to plan? Proverbs 16 is incredible. Even thinking about the context of success, Proverbs 16 is great because there's three or four verses in it that really explain our role in planning and God's role in answering. And that's kind of the way it works for the Christian, right? That we can use our brains, we can plan, we can think strategically, we can think ahead. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? But here's the difference in the Christian. The Christian always does that with an open hand and says, Lord willing, about it. You know, the word picture I always like to use is, we push hard on the plow, and we do so with an open hand. That's what we ought to be doing as Christians. And so ultimate success for us is measured not necessarily by sort of how far I plow or how fast I plow, but it's, am I being faithful to plow as hard as I can in as godly a way as I can while I'm in this deployment or assignment for the glory of God, always doing so with an open hand, which shows that I'm ultimately trusting in God for any success I have. You know, it's that very thinking that for me has kind of led to a personal work motto, which is work hard, work smart, but trust God. So I want to work hard. I want to do good work. I want to work smart. I want to make good decisions, but I want to trust God more than anything and trust that he ultimately has his purposes in mind as I faithfully do work as unto him.
Well, I'm sure this book would be a good resource, maybe just even as a small group, or just maybe even among some workmates, perhaps, if you share a faith or just want to talk about work. Other resources or anything that you recommend, Sebastian, here before our time runs out?
Yeah, and just on that note, if you go to thegospelatwork.com, we have a free study guide. It kind of breaks the book into six different units, and it's specifically designed. It's got videos to go along with it, so you can go through it with a small group or a work group. That's a free resource that accompanies the book that you can use. Would just encourage you all. And also, there's a lot of talks on the Gospel at Work website from conferences we put on that also might be helpful.
And check that out, thegospelatwork.com, and that's the place to find out a little bit more about the good writing and the insights from Sebastian Chager. He's co-written the book, The Gospel at Work, with Greg Gilbert, the subtitle, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. It's published by Zondervan. It's a recommended reading. Thank you for connecting with us today. If you missed part of today's show, a reminder, you can always catch the interviews online. We post our interviews online after the show, and so you just go to the website myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you'll find this interview and others on topics like this and more that could be helpful to you. And of course, everything's shareable as well, so we invite you to pass it on to a friend or someone that you need and appreciate it. Sebastian, blessings to you and your new role there at International Mission Board, and thank you for giving us some great insight today. We appreciate the time.
And thank you so much for having me. Anytime, it's been my pleasure, and I pray that it will encourage folks in the workplace to keep pressing on after the cake.